Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Hey. We should mention that we are, in effect, continuing the topic we discussed in our previous shiur, the latter part of our previous shiur, dealing with the attribute of haughtiness and how one should avoid behaving thusly. On the third line from the top, the Gemara asks, Azhora legase haruach minayin. Where do you find a scriptural reference prohibiting behavior of that nature, haughtiness? Omar Rovo, Omar Ziri, Shimu v'hazinu al tigbo. So you see in this pasuk, al is an expression meaning do not, and the word tigbo is from the shoresh, from the root of govoa, to be high, lofty, or in this case high spirit, haughtiness. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar Mehocha. From the following we have the azhora, the negative command concerning haughtiness. V'rom levovcha v'shochachta. Uksiv hishomer l'cho pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha. So the first citation, v'rom levavcha, has to do with a haughty spirit, and then v'shochachta, through haughtiness, one forgets the Almighty. And concerning forgetfulness, it says hishomer l'cho pen tishkach. As Hashem Elokecha, you see the words Hishomer and the word Pen. Uchederebi Oven Omer Rab Ilo, the Omer Rab Oven Omer Rab Ilo, Kol Mokoim Shinema Hishomer Pen Ve'al. Wherever one of these words appears, Eino Elo Beloy Sase. It indicates a negative command. So that when you see Hishomer Locha Pen Tishkach as Hashem, where does Shikha come from? Where does forgetfulness of the Almighty come from? From V'rom Levavcha. And concerning forgetting Hashem, you have a negative command in the form of Hishomer Locha Pen Tishkach. Dorash Rav Avira. Zimnin Omer Le Mishmei Duravasi V'Zimnin Omer Le Mishmei Duravami. We saw this marking in our previous shiur featuring Rav Avira's drushes, sometimes in the name of Rav Asi, sometimes in the name of Rav Ami. Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasus HaRuach, anyone who possesses that quality of haughtiness, L'Soif Mismaet, eventually he will fall from his supposed importance. Shenemar Romu Me'at. Romu has to do with haughtiness, and then Me'at becoming reduced to little. V'shemo toimar yeshno ba'olam. You might say, all right, so he's reduced, but he remains. Talmud lomar v'einenu. In that very same pasuk that you can see, we've quoted on the side of our marked gemaras, you see that it says v'einenu. V'im chozer bo, and if he atones, if he repents, ne'esaf bizmanoi ke'avram ovinu. So he will merit then living a full life, and Nesaf means to be collected from living and eventually die in his right time, as was the case with Avraham Avinu. Shinemar v'humchu has to do with lowliness, humility, kechol yikpotsun, and the idea of yikpotsun means to be gathered in, so that in the pasuk you see, with humility, kechol yekpatsun. And what is the significance of the word kechol that we dashed underline? Ke'avrom, Yitzchok, V'yankiv, Dechtiv, Behu, the forefathers concerning whom is written, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. These words appear in different psukim, in association with each one of the Ovos, and Avram Avinu, one of them, being described as someone who lived a full life. V'imlav, however, if a person does not behave thusly, he doesn't repent, Ucharosh Shibolas Imalu. This, of course, you can see is the end of Pasuk Chof Dalet of Eov Perek Chof Dalet. My Ucharosh Shibolas, what is the reference to the Rosh, that means the top of a Shibolas of a stalk of grain? Rav Uno Vrav Chista. Chad Omar Ki Sosa de Shibolta. We should have explained that in the Pasuk Ucharosh Shibolas Imalu, Imalu means to be cut off. You might be familiar with the word bris mila. Mila is a cutting. So it's a reference in the pasuk to a sheaf, a sheaf of grain, where the top is cut off. So one pshat, one explanation is a reference to the sosa of shibolta. These are fibers that extend beyond the top of a grain, and they would be described as being cut off. And such is the case with someone who remains haughty. V'chad Omar, and the other approach, you have Rav Huna and Rav Chista, the other one explains, Kishibolas Atzma. The Kerosh Shibolas Yimolo is a reference to the top of the grain, the stalk of grain itself. Not a reference to the fibers that extend beyond, but the grain, the comb of grain itself. Bishlamola Mandelmar Kisosa de Shibolta. I understand, well, according to the approach that says that Kerosh Shibolas Yimolo is a reference to the fibers that extend beyond the top of the grain, Hainu Dichsiv, that is what the Pasuk means when it says Ucharosh Shibolas, the head of the Shibolas, the sheaf of grain. Elo Lamand Yomar Ki Shibolta Atzma, but the explanation that says it's a reference to the grain itself, to the grains, the comb of grains themselves, my ucharosh shibolas. What is the reference to the head of the shibolas when you are saying the pasuk is referring to the shibolas itself, to the comb of grains that appear at the top of the stalk itself? See, the term rosh indicates something extending beyond. But if you're explaining karosh shibolas yimolo as a reference to the grains themselves that grow at the top of the stalk, what is the role of the word rosh? Omar Rav Asi v'chein tana debei Rabbi Yishmael moshal le'odom shenichnas l'soich sadeo, person, an analogy to a person entering his field, gavoya gavoya hu malake, the tendency is to gather, to cut off those that are the tallest. The others, one will assume, are left to grow, to mature further, so that when you enter a field and you see certain grains growing taller than the rest, those are the ones that you will cut off first. So that haughtiness is being portrayed as a stalk of grain growing taller than the others. This idea of height, of high spirit, haughtiness is portrayed here. We continue with a pasuk from Yeshaya, Perek Nunzayin, pasuk Tes Vav. We've quoted the entire pasuk on the side of the Gemara, and let's read it together. Kiko Amar Rom v'Nisa Shochinad v'Kadosh Shmoi Morom v'Kadosh Eshkoin. The pasuk describes the Almighty who dwells on high. V'Es Dako Shval Ruach La'Achyos Ruach Shvalim v'La'Achyos Lev Nidkoyim. The Almighty who dwells on high is together with those that are of contrite and humble spirit. Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. In describing this V'es Daka, the word Daka is a person who is literally has to do with crushed down, but it's a person who is of humble spirit. So one approach is Chad Omar Iti Daka. That means that I, the Almighty, raises the the humble unto me. V'char omar, ani es daka. The other approach says that the Almighty, so to speak, descends down to meet, to be with the one of humble spirit. U'mistabro kemadomar ani es daka. It's more likely, like the approach, the second approach, that he, the Almighty, descends down to be with the humble spirited individual. Sherei HaKadosh Baruch, we find that the Almighty hiniach kol harim ugvos, he abandoned all mountains and hills. V'hishru shchinos har Sinai v'lo gova har Sinai l'mala. He came in the giving of the Torah to have his divine presence dwell upon Mount Sinai, which was a lowly type mountain, v'lo gova har Sinai l'mala, and didn't cause Mount Sinai to raise upwards. So that we see the idea of the Kodesh Baruch Hu kiviyochol descending down to that which is lowly, as opposed to raising up the lowly to become very high. Omar Rav Yosef, le'olam yilmad odo midaitoi midas kainoi. A person should always learn from the ways of the Creator. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu niach kol harim uvos. We find the Almighty left behind all mountains and hills. V'hishu shchinos al har Sinai, and dwelled, his divine presence dwelled upon Mount Sinai, the lowly of mountains. Omar Rebbe Lozer, kol odom sheish bo gasas haruach roi ligad oy kashira. Anyone who has this characteristic of haughtiness, he is fit to be cut down like an asherah. Asherah is a tree that was worshipped in idolatry. You can see that we have, of course, a continued series concerning the people that have this quality of gasas ruach, and in the Gemara immediately you can see we have a double underline added marking to highlight a series of Rebbe Lozer comments on this topic. So Rebbe Lozer says that one who is a gas ruach, one who is haughty, is worthy or fit to be cut down like an asherah tree. Ksivacha, in one pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Yud Posuk Yud Gimel, it says V'Romei Hakoyim Geduim, the high spirited are cut down. Uksiv Hasam, and there in the context of idolatrous trees that were used, that were worshipped in idolatry, it says V'Asherehem Tegadeon. So you have the word the root of this being Gimel Dalet Ayin Gadea or Goda in both places, high spirited and idolatrous trees. The Omer Rabbi Lozer, kol odom sheyesh bo gasas haruach ein afro ninar. Person who is haughty, his dust, the dust of decomposition after a person dies, will not ninar, will not arise upon the resurrection of the dead. Shneimar hakitzu v'rananu shoychnei ofar. That's the pasuk describing the arising of the shochnei ofar of the dead. Now, shochnei ofar is featured in the pasuk. Shichvei ba'ofar lo nemar doesn't say literally those that are lying in the dirt, a simple reference to corpses that are in the ground. Elo shochnei ofar. What is the significance of this term shochnei ofar? Mi shenase shochein ofar b'chayov. He who was like a neighbor of the dirt. The dirt being that which is on the ground, that which is lowly. So someone who practiced a life of lowliness, of humility, he will merit hakitzu v'rananu, the resurrection of the dead. V'yomar Rebbe Lozer, kol odom sheyesh bo gasas haruach, shchino mialel esalav. Anyone who has within him this characteristic of haughtiness, the divine presence bemoans him. Shenemar. Now, here we have a quote from the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Kuf Lamed Ches Pasuk Vav. Before reading the quote of the Gemara itself, the preceding words of this pasuk from Tehillim Kuflamet Ches Pasuk Vav says Ki Rom Hashem v'shafal yireh, and the Gemara words we have here v'gavah mimerchok yiyeda, and the expression yiyeda is a language of bemoaning, and Rashi points this out. If we look at Rashi across from here, a few lines up, v'gavah mimerchok yiyeda, reishe dekra, the beginning of the pasuk says, ki rom Hashem, the Almighty is lofty, the shafal yireh, the shafal means the lowly, he will notice, v'gavah, which is in our quote, v'hagavah, the lofty one, the haughty one, mimerchok. What does that mean? Mikodem shetavol of puranus yomim rabim yiyeda, that before the suffering befalls him, shechina misayinenes umishtaberes olav kemo vayedal manusav. And there are other psukim that Rashi quotes indicating the word yud dalet ayin, indicating a bemoaning, so that the gavoa, the one who is haughty, mimerchok, way before, merchok means the distance, before the punishment befalls him, the Shechina, the divine presence, is already bemoaning him. And now we have another drasha of Rabbi Avira, and hence you can see this crown marking that we saw earlier. Dorash Rabbi Avira, v'itema Rabbi Elazar, bo urei. In this case, by the way, Rabbi Avira is quoting a different source than the names we saw him quoting earlier. But either Rabbi Avira, and some say Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar would be part of the series that we just saw with the double underlines. So either Rabbi Avira or Rabbi Elazar says, "Bo re, come and see shalok kamidas hakadosh baruch hu midas basar adam. The attributes of the Almighty are not like the attributes of man. Midas basar adam, the nature of man is gavoa roe es hagavoa, vein gavoa roe es hashafal. Someone who is very tall, when he stands without maneuvering his head, he will notice someone who is of similar height. So the tall sees the tall. Someone who is very tall will hardly notice someone who is short, who is low. Avol midas hakadosh baruch hu eino kein. Hu gavoa, the Almighty is lofty. V'roe es hashafal, and he notices the humble, the lowly. Shenemar, the beginning of the pasuk that we saw before is quoted here in the Gemara, Ki Rom Hashem v'shafal yireh. The Almighty is way up there, is lofty, but he notices the shafal, the lowly, the ones of humble spirit. Omar Rav Chisda v'tema mar ukva. Kol adam sheyesh bo gasis haruach. Anyone who has this quality of haughtiness, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani V'hu Yecholim Lodur Bo'olam. I and he, the haughty one, cannot live together in this world. As the common saying goes, there isn't enough room in this world for the two of us. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Miloshni Basei Sereu Oso Atzmis, so in this pasuk, you notice we dashed underline geva, meaning the high one, the haughty one, and it says lo uchal, al tikri oso. Instead of reading in this pasuk oso atzmis, read it as ito lo uchal. Just correct the detail. We read in the pasuk Gvainai Ruchav Levov Oso Lo Uchal. Instead of reading Oso Lo Uchal at the end of pasuk, you read Ito Lo Uchal, means together with him I cannot be. Ika Demasni Lo Amesapre Loshen Hara. There are those that explain this pasuk not in the context of the haughty ones, but rather regarding the speakers of Lashon Hara, the people who practice slanderous speech. the pasuk made reference to Malashne Baseser. That's from the word Loshon, those who speak Baseser in secret. People who want to defame others, they generally speaking speak in whispers, in quiet, in a hushed form, telling their friends, telling stories about others. And in the pasuk it says, "Malashe b'seiser rehu," one who speaks ill, speaks negative about his friends in quiet, "Oso atzmi," such and such a person I will cut down. Amar Rebbe Alexandri, "Kol odom sheish bo gasas ruach, afilu ruach kima oichrosoi." He who is haughty, even a, well, literally, a ruach kima means a kima is something small, light. Ruach is a breeze, a light breeze, destroys him. Before Shem explained, ruach kima is a reference to even a minor retribution will destroy him. Shenemar v'horoshoyim kayom nigrash. The wicked, like the sea, kayom nigrash. And we explain, uma yam sheyesh bo kamol voyos. The sea has many, many revoyos. Revoyos is the pull of the word revius, a liquid measure. So there are many, many gallons of water in the sea. Ruach kimo chroso, a light breeze over the sea ruffles the sea. The entire sea is ruffled by even a light breeze. Adam shein bo elo l'revius achas alachas kama v'kama. A person who has in him a, let us say, a minimum amount of blood, which is sufficient for maintaining a person, is, in the eyes of Chazal, is termed a revius. It's a minimum amount of blood in a person is, we'll say, is the minimum amount for life. So the sea, which has many revios in it, even a light breeze ruffles it. A person that has just one revius in him, all the more so. The Gemara continues. Omar of Chiyo bar Abba bar Ashi Omar Rav. Here we have a new marking, a diamond, and on the side, under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the topic heading with a structural note combined, the diamond is featured, Gasus Ruach B'Talmidei Chachamim. Here we have a specific reference to haughtiness in Talmud, in Torah scholars. So Rav says, Talmud Chacham Tzorich Shiei Bo Echod Mishmoyne B'Shminis. A Torah scholar needs to have a little bit of haughtiness in him, not too much, a little bit, an eighth of an eighth. Omar Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua Ma'atro Le Kisosa Le Shibota. And even the little haughtiness that he has in him must be covered like the fibers that cover the head of a grain. We saw before the analogy to haughtiness through a tall sheave of grain with the fibers that extend beyond it, and hence you can see the continued use of that analogy in this context. The Rashi explains on the first wide line, Echod Mishoinu Mishminas Mishkal Kotenhu. An eighth of an eighth is a reference to a very small weight. Vainu Uchlo. The name of that measure, that weight, is called an Uchlo Klomar. What we're trying to tell you is, Tzor Shiebo Ma'at Gaiva. A Talmud Chacham has to have a little bit of haughty spirit to him, or let's say lofty spirit to him. Shiloyu Kale Horosh Mistoilin Bo. So that the scoffers shouldn't take advantage, should not denigrate him. V'yei dvorov miskablam leim baal korchem. And through this little measure of haughtiness or high-spiritedness that a Talmud Chacham has, so his rulings will be imposed upon the Kale Horosh, the otherwise light-headed scoffer individuals in his midst. the Rashi goes on to say, actually, gasus muat, a little bit of haughtiness, noe v'hoigenes l'tamad chochom, is fitting for a Torah scholar, umatrosoi kisoso amateris es hashibolus, and it serves as a crown upon him, like the fibers that sit atop a head of grain. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, b'shamta d'ispe u'b'shamta d'lespe. B'shamta is a reference to being excommunicated. So b'shamta, one who d'ispe, that has in him gasas u'ruch, that has in him haughtiness, deserves excommunication. And b'shamta d'lespe, one who doesn't have a little bit of gasas u'ruch, also deserves censuring. And as Rashi says on that, b'shamta d'lespe gasas purta, Rashi on the third of the Y lines under the Gemara text, someone who lacks the minimum amount of gasus should be censured, lefi she'ein b'nei iro yireya mimenu, because the people of his community will not fear him, the ein bo koyach lehochicham, and without this little bit of gasus, he doesn't have the power to chastise them. We continue in the Gemara. Omer of Nachbar Yitzchok, lo mino v'lo miktsasa. As far as I am concerned, he says, I don't want it, and I don't even want a little bit of it. And why do I want to have no part of gasus ruach? Mizuta dichsib beitoyev as Hashem kol gov alev. Is it a small matter that which the posuk says that it is an abomination to God? Anyone who is gov alev, who is haughty, something that is described as an abomination to God, I don't want to have any part of it, even the smallest amount. Omar Chizkia, ain't filoso shel odom nishmas. A person's prayers will not be heard, elo im kein meisim liboi kebosar, unless he makes his heart like flesh. Bosar, we'll see a description of this in the Gemara, what the intent is in this analogy. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'hoy midei chodesh b'chodesho, yavoy kol bosar lehishtachavos." A reference made to those coming to the Beis Hamikdash to bow and pray. Omar Rabbi Zera, bosar ksiv be v'nirpa, odom lo ksiv be v'nirpa. When reference is made to refuah, to healing, the term bosar appears in the context of healing. The term odom does not appear in the context of healing, even though we're essentially, in a sense, or essentially describing a person. The word describing a person is bosar, meaning flesh, and not the word odom. And the Gemara will now analyze these words. Before we analyze the terms Bosar and Odom, let us look at the Rashi, fourth wide line under the Gemara. The Gemara had mentioned that a person and his prayers will not be hearkened unto unless he makes himself like Bosar. So Rashi says, Shu rach, it's soft, velo ke'even, shu koshe, soft like flesh and not hard like rock. And the Gemara cited the posuk of Yovo kobosu lishtachavos. Rashi says, lishtachavos, lispalel, to come and to bow and in prayer. Oysom sheheim boser yovo lispalu. Those that are like flesh, as we already described, soft and not hard like rock, will come and pray. Kiheim nishmoim lifnei lifonai. They are the ones whose prayers I will heed. Avol gasei haruach lo yavo. But the haughty, they will not come. Also, Rashi continues, Bosar ksiv bei v'nirpa, quoting the pasuk in the context of tsaras. It says, "Ubaser kia boi ba'oroi shchin v'nir pa." Adam kia ba'or b'sar negat tsaras kia ba'adam lo ksiv b'chad minayu v'nir pa. In the pasuk where the word Adam appears, you don't find the word v'nir pa. In the pasuk in which basar appears, you do find the word v'nir pa, the word indicating healing. Lefin darkecha ato lomed, through this you can derive shemishu rach v'onov kebasar korvlus rapos misura boin alav. Someone who is soft and humble is close to receiving healing from the yisurin, from the trials and tribulations that befall him. Avo mishu koshek adoma, someone who is hard like adoma, like the earth, ein refua lemakosav, there's no healing for his afflictions. That having been said, we now go back to the Gemara where we see an analysis of these words. Omar Rabbi Zera, the second line from the bottom, correction. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Adam, the word Adam is made up of the letters Aleph, Dalet, Mem, which are Rashi Tevas, which are initials for the words Efer, Dam, Mora, ash, blood, and gall. Basar is made of the letters Beis, Shin, Resh, Busha, Srucha, Rima, embarrassment, decay, and Rima, also a form of worms and decay. Ika diamri, another approach to the word Bosar, the middle word Srucha, has the word Sheol, Dechsiv Beshin. Instead of the word Srucha, which is spelled with a Samach, even though it has the same sound as a sin, some would replace it with the word she'ol, which means the depths or a grave, instead of the word srucha. That way you have beis, shin, resh, busha, she'ol, and rima. For a little more on this topic, we look into the Rashi. The Rashi picks up where we left off from before. Adam, loma nikra shmoi Adam. Why is a person called by that word? Shu efer dam mora. Klomar, kulo hevel. He is completely hevel. Hevel, something that's frivolous, something of no real value. Lekach al yizgoye. Therefore, being that a person is made of ash, like of dirt, and blood, and gall, there is no reason for a person to ever show haughtiness. Morahi, l'chluchis mora, yitzis min amrira, shebekoved, the mora, a reference to gall, is that which is secreted by the gall coming forth from the liver. Umisgaberes be'odom hakolofi, achadoshim shinu itim, lufi amaychel shecha, v'ayodea boin, chaloyim, unigoyim, umach oivis, yeshikorim bedivre horoifim, riro shchero, v'yeshikorim riro aduma. Rashi here is elaborating on the fact that many diseases are rooted in the secretions coming forth from the liver and the gall, and there are different medical terms referring to Mirir Shchura, black gall or red gall. The next Rashi says, Sho'il, Mokum Sho'il Beso, the depths of one's house. So in the Gemara, we've seen how the term Adam is made of the words Efer, Dam, and Mora, and the message one gets from that, as we saw in the Rashi, is that there is no room for a person to be haughty. And Basar likewise communicates that sentiment, Busha, Srucha, and Rima. We continue with the bottom line of the Gemara. Omer of Ashi, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gasis Haruach L'Soif Nifchas. He who has in him this attribute of haughtiness, in the end he will be reduced from his loftiness and will become the least of men. She'ne'emar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. As the Pasuk says, V'laseis V'lasapachas. That's a Pasuk, again, from the topic of Tzoras. And the Gemara analyzes, V'ein seis elaloshen gavoa. The word seis indicates something lofty. Shenemar V'al kol heorim horomim V'al kol hagvois hanisaos. The word nisaos and the word seis have the same root. Man, the Pasuk makes reference to all the high mountains and hills. So you see the word laseis has to do with highness or haughtiness. The ein sapachas elo tfeila, and in the same Pasuk you see the word sapachas, that has to do with something that is tangential, something that is unimportant, something that attaches itself to others, but it itself lacks importance. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Safchinino elachas ha-kohinois lecho pas lechem. Attach me, meaning something that's attached, not something that is of central significance in and of itself. We take a look at the Rashi, Safchinino, Asfenino, Binavus Beis Eli Mishtoi Kro, Amid, Kayanem Gdelem Achirim, Shiotsios Kayane, Zaracho Migdulosom, Vitstarchu, Levakish Mem, Leoisvam, Ulekultum Etzlam. So Rashi gives us the background to this Pasuk, indicating that in the future the descendants of Eli will lose their significance and only be subsidiary to others. You can see we have a new marking, a double underline, which is featured under the Mivneh, the structural note. These are Memros Shel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. These are comments made by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Bo re'e kama gdoilim nemuche haruach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how important, how great the humble are to the Almighty. Shebishol Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, when the Holy Temple was extant, Odom Makriv Oilos Har Oilo Biyodo, a person would bring a burnt offering, an Olah sacrifice. He would be rewarded for bringing that specific sacrifice. Minchos Har Mincho Biyodo. If he brought a meal offering, he would get meal offering reward. Avol Misha Daita Shvela, someone who is of humble spirit, Malav Akosuv, the Torah considers him Ki'ilu Hikriv Kol HaKorbonos Kulam, as if he offered all of the different kinds of sacrifices. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Zivchei Elikim Ruach Nishboro. Notice the word Zivchei is the word for sacrifice in the plural form. So that Ruach Nishboro, the one of broken spirit, of humble spirit, is considered as if he offered all the different sacrifices. V'lo oid elo she'ein tfiloso nemesis. Not only that, but his prayers will not be disdained. Shenemar lev nishbor v'nidke l'kim lo sivzeh. The broken-hearted and lowly-spirited individual, the Almighty, will not disdain. In other words, if someone is looking for a chance for his prayers to be heard, it's most advisable that he should adopt the characteristic trait of humility. In fact, this idea we saw expressed at the very bottom of Omid Aleph. The statement was made by Chizkiyah, Ain't filosof shel odem nishmas, elim ki meisiv liboi kebosar. A person's prayers will not be heard unless he places his heart like one of flesh, soft and humble. We continue in our Gemara. V'yomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Hashom or Choisav Boilam Hazeh. Shom from the word, maybe shuma is familiar to some of you. It has to do with a calculation. Someone who calculates his ways, who measures his ways in this world, will merit seeing the salvation of the Almighty Shenemar. The Pasuk says, V'som derech arenu b'yesha elakim. Al tikri v'som. V'som means to place. Elo v'shom derech, one who calculates his ways, he will merit seeing the yesha, the salvation of the Almighty. The Gemara in Moed Katan elaborates on this a little bit more, where shom derech involves people who calculate, is it really worth my while to sin and forego schar mitzvah, to forego spiritual benefit in favor of some type of immediate sinful pleasure? And likewise, is it calculates the value of investing in mitzvah performance as opposed to engaging in idle activity? This kind of lifestyle involves constant evaluation and calculation, which is all encompassed by the term v'shom derech. Ketzad mekanelo v'chulei. Now we go back to explaining the Mishnah that opened our Masechta, Ha Gufa Kashya. Amris, looking at the Mishnah, we find that there is an inherent difficulty, an inherent contradiction. On the one hand, it says, and by the way, notice we have a long question marking, and the topic at hand, we've noted on the side under the Nosei, Nusach Shel Kinui, what's the text of the warning that a husband must issue in order for Kinui to be accomplished before the Sota process can continue? So the Mishnah said, Omar lo bifnei shnayim al tidabri im ish ployni. The Mishnah, after saying, how is kinui done? It says, a husband says to his wife, do not speak with so-and-so. Alma dibur stirohu. It would then seem to be that speaking with so-and-so, concerning whom the husband warned his wife not to do so, that would be considered seclusion. V'hadar toni. And then, when you continue reading the Mishnah, it says, dibro imoi. If she violates that warning and speaks with the prohibited individual, adayin muteres lebeis and muteres lechol betruma. By her merely speaking with him in an open location, she's still allowed to be with her husband and allowed to continue eating truma if her husband is a kohen. Alma dibor lo klumu. So from this part of the Mishnah, you would conclude that speaking is nothing. Omar Abaye Hochi Komar. So now Abaye presents the fuller understanding of the Mishnah, the way one should understand the Mishnah. Once again, the Mishnah began by saying, Ketzad Mekanela, how is Kinui done? Well, Al Tidabri, if his warning is do not speak with so and so v'dibra, and she does speak, Al Tidabri v'nistro, or his warning is do not speak with so and so, and she goes into seclusion with him, or Al Tistri v'dibroima, or husband warns his wife don't go into seclusion with so and so, and she speaks with him in the open. Adayin muteres lebeis muteres lechol betruma. In all three of these scenarios, she does not become prohibited to her husband. She's allowed to be with her husband, and she's allowed to continue eating truma. However, nichnasa ima lebeis haseser v'shuasa kedai tuma, if she went into seclusion after hearing the husband say, al tistari, do not go into seclusion, and she goes into seclusion, and shuasa, and she tarries there kedei tuma, the amount of time for intimacy to take place, asur lebeisa v'asura lechol betruma. That would result in her being prohibited to continue with her husband and eating truma until she actually drinks the special waters in the Beis HaMikdash. Let us glance at Rashi, across from here, Omar Abai, Hochi Komar. Omar law, the expression in the Mishnah, after the Mishnah said, Ketzad Mekana law, the Omar law, Lav Pirusha, the Ketzad Mekana law, who? It's not coming to explain the question of how does kinui take place. Elatarti kotoni. Rather, there are two points. Vochi komar oma lo to dabri vinistro dibra. If the husband had said, "Do not speak with so and so," and she goes into seclusion with him, or she speaks with him in the open. Afalpi sheovra al kinuyov, even though she violated his warning. He said, "Don't speak with so and so." Well, and she went ahead and did speak with him. So even though she violated his kinui, etzel dibur, regarding speech, o im dibro imo achar kinui gomor, the alt history, or she spoke with him after a full-fledged warning, a proper warning, do not go in seclusion. Adayin ba'achas mishte elu muteres labayla. Whether it was a full-fledged warning, alt history, and she spoke with so-and-so, or do not speak with so-and-so, and she went into seclusion with him. In either of those cases, she remains unaffected. She's still muteres to her husband. Avol, ovra al kinui etzel stira, kagon, sha'omar lo alt history. If, however, she violated the warning by going into seclusion after having been told, after having been warned, do not go into seclusion, then the kinui takes effect, and the resultant seclusion after being told, alt history, would result in her being prohibited to continue with her husband and to continue eating truma if her husband was a kohen. V'im meis choletzes. If the husband that had warned his wife not to go into seclusion with so-and-so, and she did, and before bringing his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, that man, the husband, died, leaving no children, but leaving a surviving brother. In general, without the issue of soto, without the issue of sinfulness, a man dies, leaving a brother, dead man leaving no children. So the surviving brother is expected to marry the widow. In other words, his sister-in-law that was left a widow. That is called yibum. In the event that the surviving brother doesn't want to marry his sister-in-law, so there is a process known as chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony, which frees her to marry whomever she wants. The Mishnah says that if the husband who had warned his wife not to be in seclusion with so-and-so, and she went into seclusion, and the husband dies, so leaving no children, there is no yibum, there is no marriage to the surviving brother, but there is shoe removal. That indicates to us that she is bound to the surviving brother, but yet the option of marrying him is non-existent. That's a bit peculiar. We have to explain this. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei / mivne heading. You notice a house form, and the house form is used to highlight Rav Yosef, and later Rava at the top of Daf Vav. Amai Amrinon, why is it that we say they ain't Isha Sota Misyabemis, that there's no Yibum option for the Isha Sota, the Mikra, the Meis Baila, Lefnei, she Shoisa, before she had a chance to drink in the special Sota waters that would reveal her either innocence or guilt, the husband died, so there's no Yibum. You'll see the use of diamonds with Roman numerals, 1 through 3. These represent Gimel Lashonos, three versions of the Divrei Rav Yosef, three versions within Rav Yosef. So now the Gemara, Amai, Tisya Beim, Nami Yevumi, why does the Mishnah say that there's only chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony to release the almona? Why is Yibum not presented as a as an option? The reason we dashed underline this is because this is the focus of the upcoming Gemara discussion. So Omar Rav Yosef Omar Kra V'yotza Mibeso V'holcha V'hoiso Li'ishacher. The Pasuk in Dvorim Perek Chof Dalid is a Pasuk that's in the context, and Rashi provides you with the background, of a husband that found his wife to be behaving immorally. The Pasuk before, and you can see it in by looking in the Rashi, it says, Kimotsu Be'ervas Dovar, etc. V'yotsu Mibeso. The Pasuk describes a husband divorcing his wife, and it says that she then goes to an ish acher. If the purpose of the pasuk was simply to say that a man who divorces his wife, who's suspected of immoral behavior, and after the divorce she's then free to marry someone else, the pasuk could have simply said v'yotza mibeso v'hoiso li'ish. She leaves his house and goes to another man. Why does the pasuk add the word acher? It says li'ish acher. So with that issue in mind, the Gemara goes on and says, Le'ish Acher, the woman who was, say, suspected of immoral behavior, she can marry some outsider, the lowly of them. So the word Acher is here to serve as a limitation or an exclusion of the Yavam, of the surviving brother. So she can go to marry some outsider, but not the Yavam, who's kind of like inside, he's part of the family. Well, if you're saying that that it's a scriptural dictum that she shall not marry the Yavam, so Elo Me'ato Chalitza Nami Loti Boy, so then there should be no need for the Chalitza ceremony either. Chalitza is the release of the bond between the widow and the surviving brother. But if there's no option for her to marry the surviving brother because of this pasuk, so apparently there's no bond. And if there's no bond, so then why should there be any chalitza requirement? Let's take a look at the Rashi. On the fifth line under the Gemara text, Ihochi chalitza nami lo teboi, the hapotro rachmona, the Torah exempts her from yibum, v'sharya li shacher b'chol inyan, shetetzi mibeso, achar shinimso b'ervas dovar, and allows her to marry another man under any circumstances once she leaves this house. So that if the woman suspected of immorality is divorced, she's able to marry any other man. Why then is there any need for chalitza? Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Leis, so Rav Yosef answers, Abaye says, Ilu isei labal. If the husband was still alive, and we're dealing with the husband of a woman who behaved in a questionable fashion. If that husband was alive, this is a husband that had warned his wife not to be in seclusion with so-and-so, and she went and violated that. And that husband, let us say, wanted to divorce her. Milo bayo get? Would she not, in fact, require a get? She wouldn't just be free to go with nothing. Hashtonami, now that the husband is not around, but the surviving brother is there, tipoi chalitza. We have a chalitza requirement. The chalitza requirement, in a manner of speaking, takes the place of the get, the divorce document that the original husband would have had to provide. So that even though we're dealing with a woman who behaved in a morally questionable way, she's not free to go with nothing. Something is required. If the husband himself was still around and he didn't want to go ahead with the let's say with the chalitza, with the sota process, he would divorce her with a divorce document, with a get. Likewise, with the surviving brother, chalitza is required to fully release her. V'is de'amri, another version. Omar Rav Yosef, Rachmona Omar, v'yotza mi'beiso v'holcha v'oysa li'shacher. When we say another version as to why is there no Yibum. So Rav Yosef explains, the Torah says she leaves his house in the case of a regular husband-wife situation where the woman behaved in an immoral fashion. We say ki motza be'er v'zdovar, the husband finds some kind of questionable moral aspect to his wife. The Torah says, well, he divorces her and she leaves his house. She goes to some other man. She doesn't remain with her husband, a wife who is suspected of ervas dovar, of immorality. Why does she not remain with him? Delo listere lebese, so that she shouldn't destroy his house. Rashi makes reference to a Gemara that we saw quite recently on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, when there is znus, when there is immorality in the house, it's like the worm eating away, destroying the karya. Karya was a type of vegetation. And in fact, in that Gemara, we saw that this type of, let's say, lewdness is the source of destruction in a household when it's practiced, when it's the characteristic of the wife, of the woman of the house. So that the Torah has this expectation that in the situation, in the context of immorality, of lewdness, she should leave the house so that it's not destroyed. The lolistere lebase. She shouldn't destroy his house. She shouldn't destroy the family. Better that she should go away. Fiat amris tisyabe nami yevumi, and you're suggesting that there should be evil means keep her in the family. That's the reason that Yibum is not an option, is not suggested. Omar le Abaye, ela me'ata. Well, with this in mind, li acher lo tinose de lo tisdere lebeise. She shouldn't marry someone else either, so as not to destroy his house. Omar le, Rav Yosef responds. We continue at the top of Daf Vov. Mika Raminon lo ale bal korche. Are we imposing her on that outsider? We're not imposing her on him. So therefore, there isn't a concern about about someone else's household being destroyed. What does bother us, and hence we say there's no Yibum, is if we would say that Yibum is a reality. Yibum is, in fact, a type of, it's a mitzvah that has precedence over chalitza. So that leaving, if Yibum was an option, it would be similar to, would be tantamount to imposing her on the surviving brother, on her brother-in-law. And this idea of imposing a problematic woman, a woman who is characterized as ervas dovar, as immoral, that we don't want. But leaving her free to marry someone else without the pressure, without any form of imposing, that's okay. Ve'ika di'amri. Here we have a third version. Again, we're dealing with the issue of why is it that when the husband of the sota dies before she goes to the Beis HaMikdash, does the Mishnah indicate chalitza but no yibum? Omar of Yosef, hakosuv koroi achir. The pasuk in Dvarim, which featured the woman who is immoral, ervas dovar, when she goes and marries someone else, it says V'holcha v'hoysa li'ish achir. Doesn't say just li'ish, it says li'ish achir. The word achir has a certain, we'll say, negative connotation. She'ein ze ben zugo shel rishon. Anyone who marries her, this woman that's involved with questionable morality, anyone who marries her, he's not ben zugo, he's not the equal of her first husband. In what sense? Shezeh hoitzi risha mibeso. The original husband, seeing in a woman of questionable morality, he gets rid of her. He puts her out of his house. The risha, the wicked one. Vizeh hichnis risha lesoch beso. And the one who does marry her, so he's taking in the wickedness, the evil, into his house. V'yad amriz tisyabem nami yevumi. And with this in mind, you're suggesting that the surviving brother should marry her, should do yibum with her. The whole point here is to get the risha, get the wickedness, get the evil out of your house. Why in the world would you think to suggest that there should be yibum, which means bringing her into the house? Amale abaye, elo me'ato niseis li acher, umeis belobonim. Well, in the case of a woman like this, the sota, she, or the woman suspected of ervas dover, of immorality. Let us say she does go ahead and marry some outsider. And that outsider, that other guy, dies, who's meis belobonim, he dies leaving no children. Are you going to say then, lo tisyabem da kosuv koro achir, that there should be no yibum because he who picks her up is called an achir? An achir, we didn't mention before, he's not ben zugo shirishon, he's viewed in a skeptical light. So because of that, because the one who then marries her afterwards is called achir, there should be no yibum in that scenario. The Gemara answers no. In that scenario where she had been divorced because of husband number one and ervas dovar and immorality on her part in that original household, so he gets rid of her, Mr. Two marries her, but then the transition from Mr. Two to his surviving brother, that's not a problem. And therefore we don't exclude yibum in that case. Gabei dahai, regarding her presence with that second husband, miha b'shem toiv havakaimo, she had a good reputation while married to him. It's true that when he picked her up, when he married her, so he was taking into his domain a woman described as risha, as wicked, as evil. But if she didn't continue any questionable ways in her marriage to Mr. Two, upon his death, if there are no children, the surviving brother, the yavam of Mr. Two, could in fact do yibum. And we continue now, as you can see, the house marking indicating a new approach. It's called the Rava's approach to why is it that there is no yibum. Rava Omar Kal V'Chomer. He uses Kal V'Chomer logic. He says, Im Nesra B'Muter La, if the Sota becomes prohibited to her husband. Her husband was a person who originally was allowed to be with her husband and wife, of course. They're Muter to one another. But she became prohibited through her violation of his warning. Be'osur lo lo kol shekein. So then all the more so with regard to the yavam, her brother-in-law. Brother-in-law is strictly forbidden to a sister-in-law. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a double underline marking. You can see on the side under the Mignah, under the structural note, we explain here these are two nisyonos shel Abaye. These are two attempts by Abaye lifroicha kavachomer shel Rava, to undo, to question the kavachomer of Rava. But at this point, before we go on, through Rava's kavachomer, we understand why Yibum is not an option. If she became prohibited to her husband, someone to whom she originally was allowed, with regard to the brother-in-law to whom she was prohibited, certainly she will not be allowed. Omar le Abaye ela me'ata, using this logic, kohen gadol shekidesh es ho'almona umeis, a kohen gadol who married a widow. This, by the way, is a type of marriage that is prohibited to a kohen gadol. And the kohen gadol, he married an almona. He's supposed to marry a woman who was never married, a virgin, a basula that was never married. Well, he went ahead. This high priest did go ahead. He violated the rules and he married an almona and he died, leaving no children. V'yeshlo ach kohen hedyo. And there survives the Kohen Gadol, a brother who's a regular Kohen. Kohen Hedyot, a common Kohen. Lo tisyabeim. There should be no Yibum, based on this logic. From the way that this issue is presented, we are going to make the assumption then that, of course, there is Yibum in this case. So Abaye is pointing out that, well, according to the logic that you just presented, you, Rava, just presented, then the following should not result in Yibum, and yet there is. So what was Abaye's case? The case of the Kohen Gadol that had married an almona, died, leaving no children, and there's a common Kohen, a brother that survives. There should be no Yibum. Based on what? In Nesra B'Mutter law, if she was forbidden to someone to whom she was allowed, but Osir law lo kol shekein, to one, the brother-in-law, her brother-in-law, to whom she was forbidden, all the more so. The Gemara points out that there's a total lack of parallel. First of all, Nesra ha'asira v'kaima. In Rava's Kal Vachomer, he described the Sota who Ne'esra, became prohibited through her violating the warning she received. The case of Abaye is not reflective of a situation where she became prohibited. Ha'asira v'kaima, an almona, a widow to a Kohen Gadol, was prohibited at the outset. Furthermore, Mutter law. In Abaye's description, he described the Kohen Gadol Shekidesh es Almona as being what? Ne'esra b'mutar law. That she became prohibited to someone that she was originally allowed. But she was never originally allowed. Osir lahu. The Kohen Gadol was prohibited from the outset. So the Gemara discounts Abaye's challenge simply on the grounds that it's not parallel to what Rava was describing. Ella. Well, try number two, a second attempt on Abaye's part to, we'll say, discredit the Kavachomer of Rava. Ella, what's this? Eshes Kohen Shenen Someis, the wife of a Kohen who was raped. And it should be understood that a Kohen, contrary to other members of Klal Yisrael, the rank and file people of Israel, Jewish men, if their wives are raped, so there's no problem with her continuing to live with her husband. Not so in the case of a Kohen. A Kohen's wife was raped, though it's a very sad story. Nevertheless, the Torah prohibits the Kohen from continuing to be with his wife. So, Eishes Kohen Shenensa, a wife of a Kohen that was raped, Umeis, and then the Kohen dies, leaving no children. V'yeshlo ach cholol. And the Kohen that died has a brother. It's a brother from a, we'll say, a common father. However, this brother had a mother that was a grusha, was a divorcee. And the father, this father was the common father to both of them, he had married a divorce, a second woman, a second wife who was prohibited to him. That brother is called a cholol. He is essentially a non-Kohen. So a woman who was married to a legitimate Kohen, but she was raped, and the Kohen died, leaving no children, and he has a brother from a common father. And by the way, Yibum takes place only between brothers that have a father in common. He has a brother with a from a common father. The brother is a cholol. He is a brother that's not considered a Kohen. There should be no Yibum, no Tisyabim. There should be no Yibum. How? Imnesra b'mutar la. And by the way, just like we said before, in a case like this, we are to understand that in fact there is Yibum. But with the logic of Rava, there would be no Yibum. And the fact that there is Yibum shows that Rava's logic is discredited. Now, how would the logic operate? Im Nesra b'mutar la, if the wife of the Kohen that was raped became forbidden to her husband, that's, you see here the word Nesra is precise. She became prohibited through the rape. So here you have a woman who became prohibited to her husband, Be'osir lo lo kol shekein, to a brother-in-law, all the more so she should be prohibited. The idea being that the isur of ones, the prohibition created by the rape, should end up prohibiting her to the surviving brother, to her brother, to the yavam. So the Gemara responds that this challenge to Rava's logic is rejected. Why? We just suggested that the prohibition created by the ones, which made her forbidden to someone she was allowed to be with, namely her husband, all the more so that problem of ones, of rape, will certainly prohibit her to the yavam. And here's the catch. The Gemara goes on. Oines be Yisrael Mishra Shori. We mentioned this earlier. Oines, rape, when it comes to standard Jewish men, that has no effect on their wives. If a married woman is raped, she goes back to her husband, assuming he's not a Kohen. So that Oines, rape, is not the source of prohibition that would have any effect on someone that's not a Kohen. The Gabi Dehai, regarding the Cholol, the brother who was a Cholol, this Kohen's brother, in effect, he was a non-Kohen. Leko Isura. There is no prohibition. So that trying to discredit Rava's Kavachomer through the case of the Ashes Kohen Shenensa, and the Kohen dies, and we say that there is Yibum, fine, there is Yibum over there. There is no reason not to allow the Yibum. There is no basis for prohibiting the surviving brother. But in the case of an Isha Soita, a woman who is suspicious of immorality after having been warned by her husband, she becomes usher to the man that she was allowed to be with, to the brother-in-law, someone to whom she's forbidden to be with, all the more so she will not become allowed. just to highlight a, it might be picayune on our part, but just notice a distinction between the Isha Sota. There, the prohibition was a prohibition that is not limited to kahuna. That's a prohibition that applies to all. So that prohibition that prohibited her to her husband, all the more so she will remain prohibited to the surviving brother. But in the case of the Ashes Kohen Shenensa, that, the we'll say the source of prohibition over there, was not a problem that applies to Klal Yisrael, was limited to a Kohen. So that problem does not affect the mitzvah of Yibum. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.